Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
FordofKorth.com is the best place for your best deal on your next new vehicle. With tons of all-new 24 models of all types on the lot. Check in on the special deals for Edge, Explorers, Expeditions, and the awesome Bronco Sports. That's FordofKorth.com.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
Welcome in, everybody, after 4th of July weekend to the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Appreciate you being here. It was hot. It was muggy. But it was a really fun weekend. I hope all of you had a safe and happy 4th. And shot off some fireworks and did all the stuff behind the grill and things like that. Although I did have a listener of the radio show. I swear, this is a true story. His name is Jeff. I'll never forget Jeff. Tell me that it must be a South Carolina thing to say, get behind the grill. Because you don't get behind the grill when you're cooking, you get in front of it, is how he put it. And he was like, I've never heard anybody say that other than you. And I thought, I hear everybody say that all the time. Whatever. If you got in front of the grill this weekend, hope you had a good time. Hope all of you were safe and enjoyed your weekend. We've got Ole Miss football to talk about, though, tonight on this edition of the Rebel Report. Ole Miss, after an end of June that left a lot to be desired, and we talked about it in recruiting, there was a trio of decommitments, all of which were blue chip prospects. Calendar turns to July, and boom, 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 they've made that right back up with three blue chip pickups in the early first week of July. We'll talk about that. Also, by the time most of you are listening to this, I think that the list will be out. I'm not entirely sure. I have not seen when. Usually we know earlier than this, I think anyway, if I remember the past correctly. When we're going to get the attendees of SEC Media Days. So if that list is already out, skip through that little portion. But I've chosen my three. If I were Kyle Campbell, if I were Lane Kiffin, these are the three players that I would take to Dallas, which, by the way, guys, is in 1 week. 1 week from today, I will still probably be en route to Dallas. If we're being honest, I'm going to delay as long as I can on Sunday my departure. Before I head on out to Dallas, just because I'm going to miss little guy. Anyway, this time next week, we'll be on our way to SEC Media Days. And so looking forward to covering that for you and with you as well. So here are the three players that I would bring if I were them to SEC Media Days. Of course, your comments as well. Appreciate you being here. Let's get into it. First, follow me on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y. And wherever you get your podcasts, if you're watching on YouTube, hop on over to your favorite podcast app. Search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. If you're listening in podcast form, don't forget to subscribe to YouTube so you never miss a minute, whether it's live or whether it's after the fact. I just thank you guys for being here. This edition of the Rebel Report is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. Injuries, unfortunately, are unavoidable sometimes in life. Sometimes you throw out your back cutting the grass, or sometimes it's a little bit more serious. If you've been personally injured, or you may have a small business or contract dispute, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm, located in Saltillo, Mississippi, will cover you in every way imaginable. You're not just a number to him. In the Gregory Law Firm, you are a real person. They'll build a relationship with you because that is your best legal option. It's the Gregory Law Firm, DJ Gregory, 662-397-9799, 662-397-9799. That's the phone number. You may not need them today, but save that number because that day might come. We hope you never have to use them, but when that day comes, 662-397-9799 for all your personal injury, small business, or contract disputes, DJ Gregory, Gregory Law Firm. Don't delay. Call DJ today. So, two episodes ago, I think is what it was. The month of June had just wrapped up, and Ole Miss saw a trio of decommitments in their recruiting class. As they were sitting before that happened, they had 12 commits in the recruiting class, and six of which were blue chip prospects, so four or five star players. And the Bud Elliott's blue chip index, I think, is a great tool. It's a very simple formula. They need to add transfer portal. That's kind of tough to do, but still, it is no team in the recruiting rankings era has won a national championship without having at least 50% of their roster, or of course, or more, 50% or more, be a blue chip prospect. That is a mark of a good recruiting class, because there's only, last year, there's only 16 teams in college football that had a blue chip ratio of 50% or higher. Only 16. So Ole Miss sitting in that blue chip ratio, the positive blue chip ratio, was a really good thing in the recruiting class. And then, you know, things happen. This, it's always the qualifier when you're talking about recruiting in the summer, is it's a long time till signing day. You shouldn't talk about class rankings this time of year, because as you guys know, classes get inflated based on number of commits. Syracuse class is not going to finish ahead of Florida State's class. They just have more players in it. Florida State's is filled with, I think, exclusively blue chip prospects. But when commits happen, they're worth talking about. When decommits happen, they are, of course, worth talking about. And the rapid succession of those three that decommitted from Ole Miss's class was concerning. We talked about it. You know, why did it happen? Why did that feel like it was almost coordinated? And of course, we talked about how there's plenty of time to recover, but that was not a, June was not a good recruiting month for Ole Miss. They went from 6 of 12 to 3 of 9 in terms of blue chip prospects. And they have started July, boom, 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 getting right back on the right side of the blue chip ratio. It started with Cortez Thomas, the defensive back from Lexington, Mississippi. There were a lot of people that thought that he was going to Mississippi State. You know, some people that cover Mississippi State still think that he's headed to Mississippi State. They were kind of blindsided, it seems, by his commitment to Ole Miss. But that happened just a few days ago. Four-star prospect, again, from Lexington. That is, if it sticks, a really, really big pickup. Samari Reed, the wide receiver from Coconut Creek, Florida. That is a real place, Coconut Creek, Florida. Four-star wide receiver committed to Ole Miss a day later. And then yesterday, Major Preston, member of the all-name team from Bradenton, Florida, the defensive back, four-star, committed to Ole Miss. So they started the month of July with three consecutive, almost, it was the third, the fourth, and the sixth is when they committed in the month of July, all of which are four-star. I'm looking at Rivals right now. So all of which are four-star players. Ole Miss has seven now, at least according to Rivals, if I'm counting correctly, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 four-star players in a 13-member class. That is on the positive side of the blue chip ratio. Of course, there are still more players to be signed. I don't think Ole Miss is only signing 13 players this year. There could be more commitments. People think that there are going to be more. I suppose there could be decommitments as well. It is still July, but after what happened at the end of June, to see them start the month of July right back on track and getting this class on the right side of the blue chip ratio obviously is really, really encouraging. And what I think is most impressive is the defensive guys. Five of the seven of these blue chip prospects in the class are defensive guys. Pete Golding is doing an exceptional job, and his staff is doing an exceptional job of acquiring talent both in high school and via transfer portal. So bad end of June, really good start to July. On the positive side of the blue chip index, Ole Miss recruiting has picked up some serious, serious momentum with those three commitments. Again, Pete Golding, defense doing really well. I wondered back when we talked about it, I guess a week and a half ago now, you know, it felt like Ole Miss should be able to capture some of this momentum that they've got as a program, and this is getting right back on that track with positive momentum. So really good stuff there. Obviously, the transfer portal is still a way that they are building as well as a team, but very clearly putting a bigger emphasis on high school recruiting. And it's at the moment, it is yet again paying off. So really good stuff for Ole Miss in the start of July. The other thing that I want to get to before we get to your comments is SEC Media Days and who I would take. Again, by the time you're listening to this, that list is probably out already. I think that they're going to release it tomorrow. I really do. But The first one's obvious. It's Jackson Dart. Aside from the fact that it's your third year starter at quarterback, he also hasn't done this yet either. He hadn't been here yet, hadn't done it. Because last year it was Quinshon, Cedric Johnson, and it was Prince, right? Wasn't he the third? Anyway, he's one of the better quarterbacks in college football. Your third year starter. He's also really good in interviews. So he'll do that well. He was essentially one of the main recruiters for this roster. So you'll get a lot of run out of that storyline, as not only did he come back and not only is he the quarterback of the team, but he was integral in signing the number one transfer portal class. There's a lot of angles that you can take with Jackson Dart. For some reason, coaches leave quarterbacks behind and it doesn't make any sense. Hopefully this year's not the case, but well-spoken, we'll interview well. One of the best quarterbacks in college football has, you know, an interesting angle, interesting story, building this roster, that kind of stuff. Lane Kiffin's quarterback is always going to get some extra attention. That's a no-brainer. Jackson Dart has to come to SEC Media Days this year. Number two, I would bring Trey Harris, because I think that combination of Jackson Dart and Trey Harris is one of, if not the best in college football this year. And Ole Miss is now developing a reputation for wide receivers at the next level. Between Ole Miss and LSU and Ohio State, I mean, those are, when you look around at the league, LSU, Ohio State, Ole Miss, those are the programs that have these high-level receivers. You've got AJ and DK, obviously, but Elijah Moore's there, and Ole Miss has built that reputation. Obviously, LSU and Ohio State as well, but who better than them right now at the top of college football? And here comes Trey Harris, a guy that was probably the third most hyped up transfer going into last season at his own position last year with Marshall and Franklin. And he became the most solid, battled through injury and still had a spectacular season in his own right. But I think he's that next Ole Miss wide receiver. And I think it would serve Ole Miss and do Ole Miss a lot of good to parade him in front of as much media as humanly possible, because I think he's that next guy. He's the next DK, AJ, Elijah Moore. He's right there. He's got the ability, physicality, catches the ball in space, makes the circus highlight catches that do really well, like on YouTube and the internet and stuff like that. I think he needs to go alongside Jackson Dart. That duo, I know Juice Wells is there. I know Jordan Watkins is there. But for my money, Trey Harris is the best receiver on this team, and he's one of the better ones in all of college football. I think he needs to be there as well. Promote him. Promote yourself as wide receiver you. And here's Trey Harris next in line following these other great receivers that are in the NFL with these massive contracts. And I would use just the scrum of 1,000 media members there to really promote Trey Harris as well, considering what Ole Miss has been producing that position in the NFL. And finally, my third, I think it's an obvious one. It's Jared Ivey for a couple of reasons. One, Jared Ivey's a high-level SEC defensive lineman. He's a really good player. There's no drama with him. He's solid. You know what you're going to get from him. He could have, as I've told you guys before, I think he and Pegues both really could have commanded a whole lot of money on the portal market had they chosen to leverage the portal market. They could have gotten a lot more than I think they're getting paid this year. But in their mind, why do I need to do that? I'm getting paid well, happy, comfortable. The team's going to win. All is good. So you've got that story of here's why I stay, that kind of stuff. But also his podcast is brilliant, and he's very bright. Bright and charismatic, and the media is going to love him. He'll be a really, 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 really good interview on top of being a good player on what should be a good team and a good defense. I think it makes all the sense in the world. This is how media works, guys. They write and will cover the easiest. And Jared Ivey will be so easy to cover because he's so bright and funny and smart. And obviously a good player. So a lot of stuff will be written about him as well. I think those three will give you maximum exposure and promotion and the most national attention at an event, which is exclusively about media attention. I know some people kind of roll their eyes at it, the talking season deal. I think it's a lot of fun. I think if the players and the coaches do it right, it can be really great to an opportunity for them to sell their programs. Ole Miss has a lot of really good options. Those would be the three that I would take, though. It would be Harris, it would be Dart, it would be Ivy. So we'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online, absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your office technology needs, anything from copiers and printers and mail machines to cloud storage and data security. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. Podcast is also presented by, in part, Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. They've got 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's very likely to be one in your backyard. They make you their priority every day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop, so all you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. All right, to the comments we go. I think they say get behind the grill because it's literally in front of you. That's what I thought. That's what I say, but whatever. You also say Jackson, Caleb Warren, and Jared Ivey should be to media days. I have a feeling Priest Korn is going. I have a feeling. He's also an interesting story as well. I kind of go back and forth on whether or not I think that that he should be included in the three. I mean, a married father is an interesting story. Like, how in the world do you balance playing college football while also being a dad? Because there's no way I could do it. No way at all. So I think if the opportunity presents itself and he's there, I might just do like a side interview with Caden about parenting. I think that would actually be a lot of fun. I might actually reach out to Ole Miss and say, hey, if you're bringing Priest Korn, I don't want to talk. Give me 10 minutes about not football, and that'll be like a bonus episode. That's what I want to do, is pick his brain about that. I think that would be fun. But anyway, so he might go as well. Trey Washington maybe as well. Obviously, J.J. Pegues would be another really good selection, but I think Ivy's podcast angle would be one that would get some pub, and obviously he's quite good at talking and wouldn't be intimidated by the microphones and the stuff. Just the pomp and circumstance of it all. You would think Ole Miss would have to be in or close to one of those top 16 rosters with the portal added in. Yeah, I've been meaning to go in and see what that looks like. I need to do that. I might do that this week. We've got the radiothon Thursday for Palmer Home, so I don't have to do any prep that day. I think that might be what I do on Thursday, is research what Ole Miss's blue chip index is with the portal added in. Because when you sign top five portal classes basically every year, and the number one this year, there's no way they don't have more than half of their roster a blue chip prospect from one portal or signing day or another, right? So I would bet my car that they're in it. I am going to look up and figure out just how much that they're in it. You don't know why, but these 2 months, even with the summer media meetings, NFL preseason, and college football week zero, it's a sluggish road to game one. I think it hurts that it's Furman. That hurts some. You guys want some numbers? Here. So I've got to subtract each of them by two. But I do a segment on the radio show where each day I read the list of numbers. Like this many days until this, this many days until this. So this was Friday. So I've got to subtract 2 days, right? Because 17 was Friday, 16 was Saturday, 15 was Sunday. So yeah, so we are 15 days until NFL training camp for the New Orleans Saints anyway. 25 days until the Hall of Fame game. That's right, guys, 25 days until the Hall of Fame game. Real live American tackle football on your TV 25 days from now. 48 days until week zero, 55 days until the first Saturday, 60 days until the NFL season begins, and 63 days until the Saints kick off against the Panthers. There's numbers for you. You'll be honest, following high school recruiting doesn't interest you at all, especially between transfer portal and the saga of high school recruiting we've seen in Mississippi the last 10 years. I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. I think that the portal has really, really killed the attention that high school recruiting gets. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just not looking in the right places, but I do get a sense from not just Ole Miss fans that, you know, wake me up on signing day. We'll see with the portal, right? Because even for Ole Miss's class, there's 13 guys in it right now. How many of those 13 players will make it to year three? How many? And that's not an Ole Miss thing. That is an everybody thing. That's every roster in college football. How many of them will make it to year three before they transfer out? So I'm with you there. Because they're not locked in until they graduate, it does make it harder to consume with intensity. My favorite commit over the last couple of days, Cortez Thomas, I think is somebody that, you know, should the transition go well, I think that he will play and play well for Ole Miss. That was a big pickup for them too. I mean, Mississippi State's really trying hard. Everybody around Auburn, Alabama, LSU, et cetera, are trying to poach from Mississippi. So Pete Golding being able to lock down another blue chip Mississippi kid is, I mean, it's just a big deal. Maddox from Hattiesburg, Hobson from Lake Cormorant. I mean, it's just the blue chip defensive players from Mississippi are signing with Ole Miss now at a higher volume. And that's Pete Golding. That's to Pete Golding's credit. Speaking on classes, the 2024 class for Ole Miss, especially along the D-line, will likely pay dividends down the road. And it's working out really nicely for Ole Miss to be able to hang on to those guys. At least they should be able to. Now, I know they always portal shop every year, but you should think that the entire starting four on the defensive line, if this is how Pete's going to arrange it, but Ivy, Pegues, Nolan, and Umanmielen, I assume are all leaving. So these guys will play a lot because Golding plays a lot of guys on defense. So they'll play some anyway, but they should be in line for a ridiculous amount of playing time this time next year. So you don't have to worry about having these blue chip guys getting buried for years and, oh, I'm not playing, so I'm leaving, right? They should be able to step right in as sophomores and be starters. I think the timing of this is working out as well for Ole Miss to be able to keep all of these guys too. Yep, absolutely. There's a balance to strike between portal and high school for Ole Miss. And it looks like they're striking it well. I mean, here, let's look at last year's class just as a refresher. Last year's high school class, if my computer moves fast enough, was a top 20 class. And again, they signed the number one portal class. But last year's high school class was top 20. It was number 20. And 23 was number 29, but they only had 17 guys in it. So they've clearly over the last couple of years kind of changed their approach there. But man, if you're signing top 20 classes and top five portal classes, you're good. I mean, this is sustainable despite what people try to tell you, national people try to tell you about Ole Miss. This strategy can build a talented enough roster to continue winning games. You would take Jackson, Ivy, and Trey as well, since Trey is a legit Biletnikoff candidate, especially if he stays healthy. Knock on wood. Knock on wood. Because remember, he got hurt last year. He got hurt bad last year and just played through it because he's tough as hell. I have not seen the Dabo Swinney transfer portal Jeopardy parody. Oh, wait. Oh, yes. Yes, I have. Yes, I have. What am I talking about? Where he just, they AI edited him in or whatever. Where, yeah, I've seen it. Sorry, that was dumb. You're also bringing Dart Harris and Ivy to media days. Bring the punter and the kicker. Yeah, that's a good way to get nobody to write about you. 3A and 3B for you are Ivy and Priestcorn. I don't think they'll bring three offensive guys. They could prove me wrong. And again, by the time most of you, the overwhelming majority of you are listening to this, the list is probably already out. But I would be shocked if they bring three defensive guys or three offensive guys. That just doesn't, anyway. What do I think Harris will end up ranking among the other Ole Miss receiver greats? Hodge, Wallace, Moncrief, Treadwell, Brown, Metcalf, and more. Ooh, that's a good question. Metcalf, despite being a physical freak and like a really likable guy and all that, didn't have that much impact at Ole Miss. Now, there are some highlights in there, don't get me wrong, but the injury bug kind of prevented him from being like what A.J. Brown was, like what Treadwell was, who also got injured, obviously, but he was still a highly effective college player. Look, if he has another 1,000-plus yard season and he's the leading receiver on a playoff team, then, I mean, is it he and A.J.? I think A.J. is a clear number one, especially when he chose to stay, when he could have left, chose to stay. I mean, was just dominant, totally dominant, and then has been an exceptional pro. I think he's won tier one, S-tier all by himself. But again, if you're a 1,000-plus yard receiver on a playoff team, my life depends on this football season. Oh, man, I hear you. Pete put out a list of his top 15 programs projecting out over the next 3 to 5 years. Pate put out a list of top 15 programs projecting out over the next 3 to 5 years. Guess who didn't make the list, even though A&M, Tennessee, and Miami did. I would love for him to show me his work on Miami. Miami being a top 15 program over the next 3 years, please show your work on that. Why have you gotten to that conclusion? What has gotten you there? Oklahoma also made the top 15. I can get behind that, though, I think. Yeah, he thinks Ole Miss is falling into irrelevancy after 24. And you know what's going to happen, though, is they will take a step back, some level of step back, because it will be a building year with how much they're going to lose to some degree, right? And people like him are going to be like, I told you so, I told you so. Watch. Priest Korn is on Rebel Report Live. He's not at the moment. I hope to talk to him, though, this offseason. I mean, he's obviously an exceptional player. And again, like I say to you guys, I'm a broken record, right? I only have a few takes that I just kind of recycle over and over and over again. But what you saw in the Peach Bowl is Caden Prescorn when healthy. That was not – is that thunder? Oh, man, I left my car outside and the garage open. Oh, well. I'll deal with that later. Anyway, that is who he is. When healthy, that is what he's capable of every single Saturday. But his story is interesting, man. I hope I get the opportunity to talk to him, either at Media Days or sometime on here. You don't do the countdown of the days until August 1st of every year? Well, I beat you to it. How about that? The U.S. International American Football Team finished fourth in the American Football World Cup. How have we fallen so fast? Who plays in that? Who plays in that? Because I saw some of the scores because, you know, Twitter was just having fun with it. But, I mean, if I'm a college coach, this is kind of hypocritical, right? Because I absolutely love international sports. I love the United States men's national team, who will, I think, be firing a coach. I think they already have. I hope so anyway. Wishful thinking. Sometime this week. I think it was Tuesday. Isn't that the day that they're going to make their announcement? But anyway, I love them. I'm going to watch all of the Olympic basketball. I think that people giving Joel Embiid a hard time for wanting to represent the United States, the country that has given him wealth beyond his wildest comprehension, is really stupid. He's an American now. He lives here, wants to represent this country, and I think that's awesome. Why on earth we are going to criticize a guy that immigrated here, made a life here, and wants to represent us is nuts to me. His story is what, like, we are all about as a country. Anyway, we don't need to go down that road today. I saw some of that on Twitter today where Embiid was getting criticized because he's representing the United States. Ooh, he's got an accent. Okay. He moved here, loves it here, wants to represent us. That's awesome. Whatever. But if I'm like a college football coach, I don't know if I want my guys playing in that. All of that to say that they're clearly not sending our best American football players. Because if they did, it would be like a safety hazard, frankly. Watching from Wyoming. Glad to see you, Scott. Hope you enjoy yourself. I have long wanted to go to that region of the country and go fly fishing. Hopefully I get the chance one day. Would Travis Hunter be a starting two-way guy at Ole Miss? I don't. Are we back? We good? There was thunder and then my camera cut out, but I think you guys still got me. So this storm is going to be fun. No, I don't think Travis Hunter would start two ways at Ole Miss. He wouldn't have to. They would use him a lot. I bet that Lane Kiffin would use him on offense some, but I don't think he'd be a two-way guy. I think he would start at defensive back, and then maybe they would throw him in on offense every once in a while. But not two-way. But he would start at defensive back or wide receiver for every school in America. And that's what's such a shame about the way that Colorado was covered and the way that, frankly, Deion handles it, because his son is a good quarterback. Like, he can play his way into a first-round pick. Shador is talented. He is good. He does make great throws. Travis Hunter is, if he was on a better team, would be a Heisman contender, and he still probably should be. It is the best, most outstanding player in college football, right? Is there anybody more outstanding than what Travis Hunter does every Saturday? But it becomes such a circus, it's all a circus, that people don't get to really appreciate the brilliance of Travis Hunter. It's a shame. He's unbelievable. He would be strictly a corner on any SEC team. I think that's where he's better. Yeah. But he's elite, man. He's so special. He is special. He would also love for Priestcorn to be at Media Days. How many more Mississippi kids do I think come to Ole Miss? Oh, I'm not the right person to ask on that one. At least a few more, though. I mean, they have certainly done such a great job in the state of Mississippi. But as you guys know, that there are, one, Mississippi State is never going to let Ole Miss get all of the in-state kids, and vice versa. I mean, they never will. They will overpay if they have to make sure that Ole Miss doesn't clean up in-state. And why would you? Right? There's no way anybody would let you do that, in fairness to them. But there's that. And then I think that there are still, even in the NIL era, some bad actors that try to get Mississippi kids to leave Mississippi, even though they don't have to. So overall, it's probably A.J. Brown in terms of the S-tier Ole Miss wide receivers. But if Elijah Moore had one more time to be in a good system, he was ridiculous, had the best season in Ole Miss history in 8 games. No kidding. Imagine another year, just one more year in Kiffin's system, also with the 4 non-conference games to work with. They have to take some sort of step back in 25, just with losing a 3-year starter quarterback is enough for that to happen, 100%. And as you know, it won't just be him. I mean, it'll be the 3 starting wide receivers, the tight end, a bunch of offensive linemen, running backs, it'll be defensive linemen, the entire defensive line, linebackers. I mean, it'll be a lot. But if there's anybody that you shouldn't doubt in terms of putting together a basically a brand new roster, it's Lane Kiffin. It's Tuesday or Wednesday for the USMNT press conference. So on that note, what do you think this means? And again, it's July 7th, so if I'm going to talk about USA Soccer, y'all just are going to have to forgive me, okay? Christian Pulisic put on Instagram today just a picture of himself. So see, just a picture of himself with the caption, "You deserve and will get better, U.S. fans. Better days ahead. Heart emoji, American flag." What do you think that means? Does that mean that, like, it's done? That a change is coming? Anyway. You know the discourse about wanting to be patriotic or loving America? Yeah. That is part of it. But Matt Turner's post-game interview was such a loser mentality, encapsulates everything wrong with the team right now. They have a friend, not a coach. Landon, that enraged me in ways. So if you guys have no idea what we're talking about, and again, it's July 7th. Matt Turner's the goalie for the United States national team. They lost to Uruguay, and they didn't even make the knockout stages of Copa America, which was the tournament going on North, Central, and South America. And it was played here in the United States. It was supposed to be a big deal getting ready for the World Cup. It was supposed to be the preparation for the World Cup, and they should have had a good showing and all that. And instead, they played like garbage. They lost to Panama, who was somebody that they should never lose to. And then they lost to Uruguay, and that was it. And Matt Turner was asked after the game, the game in which they got eliminated, about the direction of the team. And here, I tweeted about it, so I'll pull up the quote for you. Let me scroll a little. Here it is. "I see no issue with the direction we are heading," is what he said. After a loss on their home soil, after two consecutive losses on their home soil, that right there is, yes, it's a loser's mentality, but I mean, play Ethan Horvath through the World Cup for all I care. There is nothing about losing that you should be okay with. And hearing him say that he sees no issue with the direction they're heading after losing in the manner in which they did is pathetic, frankly. And it shows that, I mean, part of me wonders if the amount of international flavor on the team, and what I mean by that is guys are playing overseas. They don't play here. They don't live here. If it matters less to them because they just get on a plane and go home to wherever the hell they're playing in Europe. But the team certainly doesn't have any dogs on it. Clint Dempsey was a dog. And after that game, cutting to him in the studio was perfect, I think. They needed that guy to say something. It was pathetic. The whole thing was pathetic. It's like Tim Ream and even Pulisic, I think, played hard all three games. But it's like two guys on the field actually give a damn about who they play for. Anyway, imagine Travis Hunter on Georgia. It's the best thing that Coach Prime did was keep Travis Hunter away from Georgia. Random three-part question. How many SEC coaches are on the hot seat? How many will probably be fired? And then who will be warm by season's end? Okay, let me pull up the... Sam Pittman's obviously on the hottest seat. I don't think that he will make it to the end of the season. There's nothing about the team that you should like at all. Let's see. They could have 4 losses by October 5th. Or on October 5th, they could have 4 losses already. They're at Oklahoma State, at Auburn, A&M neutral site, Tennessee at home. That they could lose all 4 of those games. Pittman would be gone then. Obviously, Napier is on some level of hot seat. I think that there is an opportunity for him to save that job, but he, I think, would be on the second hottest seat in the SEC. Shane Beamer's seat can get hot with another bad season. I mean, as you guys have seen, the trigger is much quicker than it has been in years past. I think at the end of the season, going into 25, Hugh Freeze could be on some semblance of a hot seat with a bad season. Now, they very well could start 5-0 before the Georgia game, but they also could lose, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, they could go 5-7. I don't think they will, but they could. The path is there. So he could be on the hot seat by season's end. Brent Venables could be on the hot seat by season's end, and Clark Lee could as well. But the hottest ones are Pittman, Napier, Beamer, I think. A result like the Copa America in 26 would potentially do more damage to U.S. soccer than falling apart or failing to qualify in 2018. I agree with that, actually. They are right. I mean, capturing the nation as a sport is right here in front of it. It is right here. And they cannot simply just continue as they have going into 26. Something that they have to do something different, because there's the opportunity to truly grab people and get them all in. But it can't go on like this. Can't wait to watch Deion Smith play. You guys know me by now. I am not Joey. I hope you don't think that I'm like coming down on your opinion. I understand, because people have heard how great he is. I get it. But when you've got a team that already has guys like Harris and Watkins and Wells, I think Smith is a luxury if available. But I mean, he has got to, not only he hasn't joined the team yet. I mean, I guess he has, but you know, hasn't practiced with them yet. You know how much of a stickler Kiffin is for, if you don't know your responsibilities, you will not play. So hasn't practiced with the team yet, and he's going to take one of those three guys' jobs. I mean, I guess if Wells is not available at the beginning of the season, the opportunity's there for him, but I don't know. I personally am more excited about the trio that are supposed to be the starters pending Wells' health. But it's hard to ignore what everybody has said about Deion Smith over the years. I think you already said it, wide receiver. He would just be a luxury. You meant Feinbaum. I guess it means you're SEC ready. 1982 Boomer Sooner. Welcome, man. I skipped you speaking facts. We're already 40 minutes in, so I gotta kind of move fast. If I ignore any of your messages, like somebody saying Pat eats soup with a fork, which, you know, some of Pat's messages make me believe that. I'm kidding. No, if I do, it's completely unintentional. I promise. It is totally unintentional. The Berhalter 1-1 photo 20 seconds before giving up the goal is exactly who that team is, trying to play like England, which even England hates how England plays. I have hoped that that's not what he was doing. I hope that he was making a tactical adjustment. I have tried to block that image of him telling them that it was tied in the Panama game instead of just trying to win that one. It's like the guys that didn't qualify when they lost in Trinidad, when they kept asking the sideline over and over again about other scores instead of just taking care of business on the field. It's the same thing. Saw Arkansas media panicking about losing all three top prospects in the state of Arkansas for the first time since like 2007. Their program is in such shambles. Any chance Petrino takes back over? Oh, I think there's a great chance that by the end of the season, Petrino's coaching. By week 7, you say he's the interim? Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, I mean, so week 7, they're off. Week 8, they're playing LSU. Bye week's a perfect time to... They punted football. I keep going back to that. They punted football. They punted a full football season, and they knew they did. They knew they punted a full football season. Chose to just let 24 be as bad as it's going to be. They chose that. It's wild. Does Hugh Freeze survive at Auburn beyond a couple more years? I don't think so. Has the league figured his system out? I think football is just... I don't think he's evolved in the same way that other coaches, that the better coaches do. And I'm not totally convinced he's the quarterback whisperer that some people say he is. but maybe that's just bias. If Auburn goes 7-5 with another loss to Alabama, he's getting warm. I agree. The end of last year was embarrassing, 100%. Yes, everyone, please subscribe. Thank you, Craig. I love you, my friend. Appreciate you, brother. If Napier wins 7 games, he's a coaching legend. Call me crazy. I think they're starting 3-0. That's going to come back to bite me. I know it is. But, I mean, I'm wrong literally every day of my life, so who cares? Wrong all the time. Miami, Samford, Texas A&M, they could be 3-0. I think they're going to be 3-0 going into Starkville. I do. I know how stupid that is. I know. Mertz was better than people gave him credit for last year. I think that defense is going to be really salty. I'm not a believer at all. I mean, at all in Miami, and they get A&M at home. I'm just saying. Is there a correlation between the lack of OG high-level college soccer for men and the underperformance of the national team? That's a good question. I think that the organization itself wasn't structured as well as its foreign counterparts until very recently, but there's still some nepotism and stuff like that at the very top. I mean, they made a really bad managerial hire, and they had an opportunity to rectify that and chose not to. That's part of the issue. I don't think necessarily talent is the issue at the moment. I mean, they've got more players playing in the highest level of clubs that they've ever had as a national team. I think that coaching and structure is more of the issue. Everybody just wants to, oh, they're not talented enough. They're not talented enough. And no, they're not as talented as, you know, some of the teams that are actually going to be contenders for the World Cup in 2 years, like to actually win the thing. But they're a lot more talented than they've shown. With Napier, they've been competitive in a ton of games except for Georgia. The Swamp is still a tough place to play. I bet they pick off a ranked team or two this year, Miami A&M. Same page, man. I'm suspended again. Why? I was early today, Pat. I was early. Just because I agree that you eat soup with a fork doesn't mean that I'm suspended. He was telling them it was 1-1. God, see, I didn't want to know that. I did not want to know that. Yeah, Memphis Rebel, you're talking about Ethan Horvath is who you're talking about. I like him. He had a big PK save in a Gold Cup game a while ago. It was awesome. Petrino takes over and they upset LSU. He then gets the interim tag taken off. That wouldn't surprise me. You don't think Florida is beating either Miami or A&M? That's more likely than what I said. The only quarterback who has improved under Freeze was Chad because he was decently inexperienced. Everyone else stayed the same. Well, and I mean, look at where they came from. A lot of older guys, a lot of veteran guys. I mean, Bo Wallace won a junior college national championship before he got to Ole Miss. I'm just not as a believer in this guru developer thing. Peyton Thorne was fine at Michigan State. He goes to Auburn and he looks completely lost. Ashford did not improve at all. I don't know. I'm just not a believer in that. Especially when you get to watch what Kiffin's done with Corral and now Dart, when you see massive step from 1 year to the next, you see dramatic improvement. And I just don't there. If Napier loses in Starkville, he's getting fired. Cannot lose that game. I agree. Is getting levied going to be the new Croomed? It could happen. If Chad Kelly kept his head on straight, he was an NFL talent easily. He still was. I mean, not only was he an NFL talent, if he doesn't get in trouble in Denver, he was going to start there like a week later. So it's a sad story, man. There's a lot of people like him, though. A lot of talent. Which, by the way, speaking of people that don't have their heads on straight, if any of you want to consider the contents of a Rico Knows video, do not, if you see it, don't click on it, don't send it to anybody. Nothing. Don't consider it. He was already a dumbass, forgive my language, but he was already clearly not worth your time. And then essentially danced on the grave of a young man that passed away in a car accident. A couple of you have sent me his videos, like asking my opinion about him. I'm telling you, don't look at him anymore. Just that is all you need to know about that person. So, little PSA there. Don't worry about it. Just don't even worry about it anymore. Why would Arkansas not come for Kiffin? They have the money because he wouldn't take the job again. And he would embarrass them again because he wouldn't take their job again. Remember, Arkansas wanted Kiffin before he took the Ole Miss job. And he took Ole Miss over them. And the same thing would happen. He would not consider them at all. Well, it wouldn't happen. So, Freeze is more of a fixer of broken toys than a quarterback whisperer, but does no one remember the good bow, bad bow? Oh, goodness. Little man needs to learn about fireworks with Brandon. That guy deserves his cancellation. Absolutely. There are very few things that would get me to agree with that statement, but what he did, yeah. Better football job, Arkansas, Mississippi State, South Carolina. Ooh, that's a good question. It should be Arkansas. It should be Arkansas. It should be, but it's not. It should be Arkansas. Kiffin would hop to Arkansas? No, he would not. No, he would not. Do I think Bianco gave up after being turned down by LSU? Ole Miss has seemed coachless since then. No, I don't think he's given up. I think the way you have to roster build in the era has changed. And guys like Tony Vitello, who maybe don't follow the gentleman's agreements, it's college baseball. College baseball changed more, I think. This is just my opinion. Free to disagree with it. Like everything I say is my opinion. I'm an opinion guy. I'm not a reporter. I think that college baseball has suffered the most dramatic shift in how you have to build rosters because football's always been dirty. Basketball's always been dirty. People went to prison because of the way basketball recruiting happened. And you guys know all about football. Baseball, you would get a guy that would commit in eighth grade and then nobody else would talk to him. It was more gentlemanly, right? And that has – so getting away from that into what it is today is a much bigger shift than football, I think. Much bigger shift than basketball. Because baseball was a lot cleaner. It was very, very clean. Now it's not clean anymore. You can have a player that can sign a deal with the collective, and Tony Vitello is still going to tell him to go get in the portal, and he might do it. It's a lot dirtier now, and you've got to adjust to it. You've got to play the dirty game in college baseball now. Clearly, you have to. And so maybe that's part of it. Arkansas is only above Vandy since 2011. That is absolutely true. Arkansas is a bad football job. Why would you go there under any circumstances other than a fat paycheck? It's harder to hire coaches away than it's ever been. I appreciate you, Zach. Thanks for being here, man. Thank you. With baseball, no one really cared until the last five-ish years. Yeah, you're seeing a lot more investment from programs that didn't used to in the SEC, and it's dirtier. It's absolutely dirtier. I mean, there's no denying that. It's dirtier. What happened with Andrew Fisher at Ole Miss is dirty. It is. As I told you guys, I would advise if my son becomes a baseball player, which I don't think he likes baseball. So he's got my genes anyway, so it doesn't matter for him. But if you sign a contract and you tell somebody that you're returning, then you return. That's what you should do. And to go against that word is, it's dirty. College sports is dirty. College baseball is now dirty. You got to play the dirty game or you're going to get left behind because everybody else is doing it. Shout out from the chat. You know, thanks, Ronald. Appreciate you, man. Arkansas with the right coach could be a powerhouse with NIL. But that's the thing, man. Their NIL is a disaster, isn't it? I mean, I guess Calipari's getting whatever he wants. But as I say on the radio show all the time, because there was this idea that Mississippi State and Ole Miss had the exact same amount of money in their collective, like the same amount of money. And I said at the time, it was right at the end of football season. I said, we're going to find out because it's how much money do you have? What kind of players are you getting? Now, there are cases where your program's a disaster and you might have money, but nobody wants to play for you anyway, I suppose. But generally speaking, if you got the money in football, you can get the players. Why isn't Arkansas getting players? Maybe they're one of those where it's just such a disaster that nobody wants to play there. But anyway, I appreciate you guys went a little long tonight. That's okay. But I'm glad you're here. Thank you. As always, we'll be back on Tuesday night. And we'll have the media day list out by then and stuff like that. So I'm also going to do a top 15 most important Ole Miss players for the 2024 season. So we'll do that as well. And just 1 week until SEC media day. So I'll see you guys on Tuesday. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much. And I'll talk to you on Tuesday.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.